Emilz Hashem, we're going to learn Brachos Daf Nun Beis. We're going to start 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Aleph Omid Beis, immediately after the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Dvorim Shebein Beis Shammai Ubeis Hillel Basuda. The introductory words of the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of this Perek, is that we're going to discuss the matters of dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding Seuda, regarding the meals. The first one was the order of the brachos we make on Kiddush on Friday night, or Yom Tov. Do we first say the Hagofen on the wine and then the bracha of Mekadish HaShabbos, or do we first say Mekadish HaShabbos and then the Hagofen? You first say the Mekadish HaShabbos, and only afterwards you say the Hagofen. The Mishnah just tells us that that's Beis Shammai's opinion, but does not tell us the reason. The Braisa we're learning now is going to tell us why Beis Shammai say that they should first say the Mekadish HaShabbos, and only after that say the Hagofen. And Beis Shammai is going to give two reasons. Number one, Shehayoyim Goyrim L'Yayin Shiyovoy. What's the cause of Kiddush? It's the Shabbos. Since Shabbos, the Kedushas Hayom, is the cause for the wine, you first make a bracha on the day, which is the Shabbos, and then you say the Hagofen. A second reason, Ukvar Kiddush Hayom Va'adayin Yayin Loibo. The day was sanctified, Shabbos came in before you make Kiddush. You only ever make Kiddush on Shabbos, irrespective of whether you make early Shabbos or you don't make early Shabbos, but either way, Shabbos is there before you make Kiddush. Therefore, you first relate to the Shabbos, which is the bracha of Mekadish HaShabbos, and only then you relate to the Kiddush, which is the bracha of the Hagofen. You first make a Hagofen, and then you say the Mekadish HaShabbos. What's his reason? Says the Gemara, says the Braisa, Shehayayin goyrim l'kedusha shetei omer. Beis Hillel says, let's look at the Kiddush, what we're saying. When we're saying the Kiddush, we're only able to say anything because we have a cup of wine. We're making Kiddush on a cup of wine, therefore we can say Mekadish HaShabbos. If there would be no cup of wine, you would not be making Kiddush. Therefore, you first make the bracha on the Hagofen, on the wine, and then you make the bracha of Mekadish HaShabbos. Dovar Achir, Beis Hillel say another reason why you should make the Hagofen before the Mekadish HaShabbos, because Birchas Hayayin Tadira. The bracha of Hagofen is very frequent. Ubirchas Hayoim and the bracha of Mekadish HaShabbos is relatively Einoi Tadira. It's not so frequent. And we have a rule. Todir v'she'einoi Todir, Todir Koidim. When you have one, when you have two mitzvahs or two brachas and you need to know which one to do first, then the one that you do more frequently takes precedence over the one you do less frequently. V'halocha kadivri Beis Hillel. The halacha is like Beis Hillel, that you first say Hagofen and then Mekadish HaShabbos. Asks the Gemara, my Dovar Achir, why did Beis Hillel have to say a Dovar Achir, another reason that you say Hagofen first because of Todir v'sheinoi Todir? Says the Gemara as follows, V'chi teima hosom tarti v'hochechoda. Are you going to say that the fact that Beis Shammai said two reasons why you say Kiddush first, and Beis Hillel only said one reason that you say Hagofen first, and therefore the halacha should be like Beis Shammai, Hochanami Tartininu, that's why Beis Hillel say a Dover Achir, that we also have a second reason that you say Hagofen first, that Birchas Hayayin Tadira, or Birchas Hayayim Einei Tadira, Todir V'sheinoi Todir, Todir Koidim, V'halacha Kedivri Beis Hillel, and the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Now the Gemara is asking, Pshita, is it not obvious that the halacha is like Beis Hillel? We know it's a Gemara in Bob Metzia Daf Nun Tes and in other places that a heavenly voice emanated from the heaven, a baskel, and said that the halacha is always like Beis Hillel, almost always like Beis Hillel. So what's the chiddush that we paskin like Beis Hillel? Says the Gemara, Ibois Eimer Koidim Baskel. It could be the chiddush that halacha Beis Hillel was talking about before the baskel came out. And therefore we had to say that halacha is like Beis Hillel. V'iboyseima, it could be la'achar baskel. Even after the baskel, we still have to say that halacha is like Beis Hillel, and it's not necessarily taken for granted. Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rabbi Yeshua, there in Bob Metzia and Daf Nun Tes, Da'omar ein mashgichin bebaskel. Rabbi Shua holds we pay no heed to heavenly voices. Hashem gave the Torah down here to us people, and the way that the Dayanim, the Rabbonim, the Chachomim see fit to rule, that's how you rule. And no heavenly involvement can change the ruling. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shua. And since we do not pay heed to the baskel, it's a chiddush, or it's not to be taken for granted, that halacha is like Beis Hillel. Continues the Gemara. We just saw in the Mishnah that according to Beis Shammai, we first say Kiddush, Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then we say Hagofen. Can it really be? Is that Beis Shammai's opinion? V'otanya, we're going to bring a Braisa, and it would seem in that Braisa that Beis Shammai hold the opposite. What does it say in the Braisa? Hanechnas lebeisoi b'moitza Shabbos. Somebody comes home on Motzah Shabbos and he has to make Havdalah. Mevorich al hayayin, he first makes the bracha of Boir Pri Hagofen, that's Yayin. Val hamoir, and then on the Neir, the bracha on the flame. Val habesomim, and then on the besomim, the fragranted species. Vachar kach omer Havdalah, and only afterwards he makes Havdalah. And even before we continue the Braisa, this is the end of the question. Havdalah is a form of Kiddush. Kiddush means a separation where Shabbos is unique over the week. In the same way as you make a form of Kiddush when Shabbos comes in, you also make a type of Kiddush when Shabbos leaves, separating Shabbos from the rest of the week. We call it Havdalah. So why with Kiddush does Beis Shammai maintain you first say Kiddush Hayoim and then Hagofen, but Havdalah Beis Shammai say you first make Yayin and then Havdalah? That's the question of the Gemara, but we're going to go on a bit of a journey just to determine that this Braisa is actually Beis Shammai. If it's not Beis Shammai, then you can't ask a contradiction to Beis Shammai in our Mishnah. But at the end of the long journey we're about to embark, it's going to become apparent that this Braisa is Beis Shammai, and this is the question. At the end, the Gemara is going to explain to us the distinction between Kiddush and Havdalah. Let's continue the Braisa for the time being. Vim ein loy elo kois echod. What happens if this fellow's only got one cup of wine and he still wants to have a suda after Shabbos? He wants to have Melava Malka, or call it whatever you want. He wants to have his mozin, his suda. And Tosis discusses how can you even entertain the idea of having a suda before making Havdalah. Tosis discusses that, but the Braisa says if he's only got one kois and he's not going to be able to say Birchas HaMozin later on a kois, if he drinks it now for Havdalah, what should he do? Manichoy le'achar HaMozin, he should leave this cup of wine till after he's eaten. He should first eat and then make Havdalah. O Meshalshlin Kulon Nacharov, he will then, after he's eaten, he will use this cup of wine for Birchas HaMozin, and after Birchas HaMozin, he will be Meshalshil, he will say all the other brachas that we saw in the Braisa, first Hagofen, and then on the Neir, and then on the Besomim, and then on the Havdalah. So that's the question. Asks the Gemara, Vaho Mimaid Beis Shammai, who told you this Braisa is Beis Shammai? Dilma Beis Hillelhi. Maybe this Braisa is Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel in our Mishnah say that you first say Hagofen, and then you say Kiddush, and then by Havdalah, you first say Hagofen, and then you say Havdalah. Then it won't be a contradiction. Your whole question is only with the assumption that the Braisa is Beis Shammai. Says the Gemara, Loi Solko Daitoch, it cannot be Beis Shammai. Diktoni, because we saw in this Braisa, Mo'ir V'acharkach Besomim. First you make the bracha on the Neir, on the flame, and only afterwards on Besomim. Uman Shomis Leid Islehai Svara, who holds that you first make a bracha on Neir, and then Besomim? Beis Shammai, only Beis Shammai, it would seem. Detanya, because we learnt in another Braisa, Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is now going to tell us about a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that he perceives. Loi nechluku Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree al hamozoin shebitchila, that you first say Birchas HaMozin, assuming that he's eaten and now he's got Birchas HaMozin and Havdalah to make on the same kois, you first say Mozin. Val Havdalah shi besoif, and they both agree that the last bracha you make is the one of Havdalah. Al ma nechluku, what's the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Al ha-moir v'al ha-besomim. Beis Shammai oimrim mo'ir v'achar kach besomim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Shammai holds you first make a bracha on the Neir and then on the besomim. Or Beis Hillel oimrim besomim v'achar kach mo'ir. You first make a bracha on the besomim and then on the Neir. And therefore you see here that who holds that you first say a bracha on the Neir and then the Besomim? It's Beis Shammai. If so, coming back to our original Braisa, if it says there that you say Mozoin and then Yayin and then Neir and then Besomim and then Havdalah, if Neir is before Besomim, it must be Beis Shammai. And now once we know it's Beis Shammai, we can ask a contradiction between that Braisa and our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Umimayda Beis Shammai Hiva Liba de Rabbi Yehuda. You're right. According to the way Rabbi Yehuda explained the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, then that Braisa must be Beis Shammai because only Beis Shammai say that Neir is before Besomim. Dilma Beis Hillel Hiva Liba de Rabbi Meir. We have another opinion, not Rabbi Yehuda. We have Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir has a different tradition as to what the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was. And according to Rabbi Meir, it could both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say that Neir is before Besomim. If so, that original Braisa, maybe it's Beis Hillel, not a contributor, but Rabbi Meir, and then there's no contradiction. Lo yisol kadaitoch. No, it cannot be even the Beis Hillel of Rabbi Meir, it cannot be. Why? Diktoni hocha b'masnisin. We saw in our Mishnah, which is the Rabbi Meir that we just mentioned, is our Mishnah. Beis Shammai imrim, Beis Shammai say first Neir, Umozoin, and after Neir, you say Mozoin, Birchas Hamozoin, Ubesomim, Vavdollah, and then Besomim, and then Havdollah. According to Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Oimrim, Beis Hillel say Neir, they agree that Neir is first. Ubesomim, and then Besomim, like Beis Shammai, that Neir is before Besomim. But whereas Beis Shammai put Mozoin between Neir and Besomim, Beis Hillel hold that after Neir is Besomim, Mozoin and Mozoin, Birchas Mozoin is after Besomim, Vavdollah and Havdollah at the end. So that's according to Rab Meir, the Machlokes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is not whether Neir is before Besomim. Both agree Neir is before Besomim. The Machlokes is Mozoin after Neir or is Mozoin after Besomim? So either way, that Braisa, Vahosom, the Braisa we're discussing, the first Braisa we mentioned, Ktoni im Ein Loi. And that original Braisa says that the very first bracha you make is Mozoin. And that's not Beis Hillel and not Beis Shammai according to Rab Meir. And then we'll say, if it's not Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai according to Rab Meir, we're back to Rabbi Yehuda's explanation. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, they both agree that Mozoin is first. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is whether Neir is first or Besomim is first. And according to Beis Shammai, Neir is first. So when we have a Braisa that we're discussing that says first Mozoin, and then Yayin, and then Neir, and then Besomim, it can only be Beis Shammai according to Rabbi Yehuda. Shma mino de Beis Shammai hiva libud Rabbi Yehuda. Umikol mokim kashya. And now we have our question. If it's Beis Shammai, then how can Beis Shammai say by Havdalah that you first make Hagofen, Yayin, and then what we call Kiddush? In Havdalah, but in the Mishnah we saw that Kiddush is first, according to Beis Shammai, and only afterwards is Yayin. That's the question of the Gemara. Answers the Gemara, Kosovri Beis Shammai Shani Yule Yoyma Meafuke Yoyma. Beis Shammai assume that there's a difference between when you bring Shabbos in and when Shabbos goes out. Iyule Yoyma, when you're bringing Shabbos in, Kamot de Magdaminon Le Odif. We want Shabbos to come in as quickly as possible. So the very first opportunity, we say the bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos, even before the bracha of Hagofen. Afuke Yoyma, by the end of the day, when we are sending Shabbos away, Kamodem Achrinon Le'odif, we prefer Shabbos to leave as late as possible. Ke'eichad Lo'y Lehave Alon Kemasui, in order that it shouldn't look as if Shabbos is a burden for us. And therefore we say the bracha of Havdalah at the very last opportunity, and we say the bracha of Hagofen before it, and therefore it's not a contradiction. Our Mishnah, which is talking about Kiddush on Friday night, where Beis Shammai say you first say Kiddush and then Yayin, whereas Havdalah you first say Yayin and then Havdalah. Continues the Gemara. V'savri Beis Shammai Birchas Hamozoin, or any bracha for that matter, t'una kois. We just saw now in the Braisa that the Braisa says that if you only have one kois and you're going to want to make Birchas Hamozoin on it, then you wait till you've eaten, and then you say Birchas Hamozoin and then Havdalah. But that seems that bracha, Birchas Hamozoin, needs a kois. Is that really Beis Shammai's opinion? Votnan, we learnt in a Mishnah, in our Mishnah, later on in the Mishnah, Bolohem Yayin La'achar Hamozoin, if at the end of the meal, before Birchas Hamozoin, a cup of wine comes to the table, Im ein shom elo oisei kos, if you only have that kos, and you can either say hagofen and drink it now before birchas hamazon, or keep it to say birchas hamazon with it, b'shama imrim mevorech al hayayin v'achar kach mevorech al hamazon. You can first say that gofen, presumably, my love to mevorech alei v'shosi lei, you make the bracha on hagofen and drink the cup of wine, and then you say birchas hamazon without a cup of wine. So you see that Beis Shammai does not need a cup of wine for birchas hamazon. And this seems to contradict the braisa we saw before, that if you're not going to have a kois for birchas hamazon later, you delay havdalah till after birchas hamazon, because birchas hamazon needs a kois. The Gemara is going to suggest two answers. The first answer is, loy de mevorech alei umonach lei. Who said he's going to drink the cup? Beis Shammai, the end of our Mishnah, says that if a cup of wine comes before the end of the meal, before birchas hamazon, after you've finished eating, then you say hagofen on the cup and you don't drink it. You leave it. Ask the Gemara of Omar Mar, amavorich tzorich sheyitim. We know there's a rule that if you make a brocha, you have to at least taste some of the wine or any food you're making a brocha on. Says the Gemara de Toimli. He does taste it. V'omar mar ta'amoy pogmoy. But did we not say that if you taste, if you drink a little bit from a cup of wine, the cup is now called blemished. You cannot use it now for a kois shel brocha later. Says the Gemara, de toimle biyode. He didn't drink straight from the cup. He spilt a little bit of wine onto his hand, and he drank from his hands. So he's made the brocha, he's tasted a little bit of the wine, and he keeps the cup for birchas hamazon. V'ha'omar mar, asks the Gemara, did we not say kois shel brocha tzorich shiur? We know that there's a minimum required measurement of wine in the cup. If you've tasted a little bit of that wine, there's not going to be enough wine in the cup for your birchas hamazon. Says the Gemara, Denofish leitfei mishure. He had, the cup was big enough that there was more than the minimum required amount of wine in the cup, and he spilt a little bit on his hand. He still had enough wine for the birchas hamazon later. Asks the Gemara, V'ha'in sham elo oisei kois ktoni. The Mishnah is talking about a case that you only have one cup of wine, which we would have thought it means that he's only got one cup, just about the minimum of measurement. So if you taste some of that, you won't be left with enough. How can you say it was a big cup, there was enough wine for birchas hamazon plus a little bit to taste with the agofen? Says the Gemara, Trei lo yehava. All the Mishnah means is he didn't have enough wine for two cups, one for agofen before birchas hamazon, and one for a full kois for birchas hamazon. Umichad nofish, however, he had more wine than a minimum cup, one cup. He had one and a bit, and he drank a little bit of wine. He still had enough left to make birchas hamazon on the revius of yayin, which is the minimum required shia. Asks the Gemara of Atoni Reb Chia. We saw in a braisa regarding our Mishnah that Reb Chia learnt, Beis Shammai oimrim mevorech al hayayin v'shoseyu. That it says explicitly in the Mishnah that at the end of the meal, before birchas hamazon, you make the agofen and you drink the whole cup. V'achar kach mevorech birchas hamazon, which would seem that the birchas hamazon has no cup. According to that, you can't say like we just answered that mevorech ilavei umonach lei, that he makes the brocha but he doesn't drink the revius of the cup. No, it seems to be explicit, according to Reb Chia, that according to Beis Shammai, he drinks the whole kois before birchas hamazon. If so, birchas hamazon does not need a kois. If so, it seems to contradict the braisa we started with today, that you need to have a cup of wine for the birchas hamazon, and therefore you keep the havdalah till after the meal. Elo, says the Gemara, we have no choice. Trei tanoi alibei de Beis Shammai. It seems to be a machlokes tanoim regarding Beis Shammai. You've got the braisa of Reb Chia explaining our Mishnah that according to Beis Shammai you do not need a cup of wine for birchas hamazon, and you have the braisa we started with at the top of the Omud that says that according to Beis Shammai you do need a cup of wine for birchas hamazon. Continues the Gemara, Beis Shammai oimrim v'chulu. The next dispute mentioned in our Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the Su'uda is whether you first do Netilas Yudayim, which you need to do before eating bread, and then you pour the cup of wine and drink it, as was common practice in those days, that they would drink a cup of wine before making the hamotzi, or do you first do pour the cup of wine and drink it, and only then do the netilas yodaim? Tanu Rabbanon. So the Mishnah just tells us that according to Beis Shammai, you first do Netilas Yudayim, and according to Beis Hillel, you first pour the cup and drink it, and doesn't tell us why. We're going to learn in a Braisa what the reasoning behind the argument is. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Beis Shammai Oimrim Noitlin Yudayim, Va'achar Kach Moizgim Es HaKois. You first do Netilas Yudayim, and then you pour the kois and drink it. Why? She'im Ato Oimer Moizgin Es HaKois Tchila. If you're first going to pour the cup, Gzeira Shema Yitmu Mashkin Shachoyre HaKois Machmas Yodov, V'yachzur V'yitamu Es HaKois, etc. Before we're going to learn the Gemara inside, let's introduce some of the rules that this sugya is going to be based on. We know that in the Torah there's a concept called Tumah, and there are different levels of severity of Tumah, each one with their own halachas. There's a concept called Avi Avos HaTumah, the father of all fathers, the grandfather of all Tumahs, which is a dead body. And then you've got an Av HaTumah, which is something one level Tomei less than Avi Avos HaTumah. And then there's a concept of a Rishoin, the first generation after the Av, Sheini, Shlishi, Revi'i. If an Avi Avos HaTumah touches something, it will typically become an Av. If an Av touches something, it will typically become a Rishon. If a Rishon touches something, it would become a Sheni. Sheni would make a Shlishi, and Shlishi would make a Revi. That's the very basic rule. However, there are many, many details. Not everything can become a Revi. For example, only Kochim can become Revi. Only Truma and Kochim can become Shlishi. All Chulin can only become a maximum of a Sheni. And even then, not always. Continues the Gemara. Beis Shammai Oimrim Mekaneach V'chulu. We saw another dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in our Mishnah, and that is that after you've wiped your hand on the mapa, on the cloth, on the napkin, on the towel, when you do Netilas Yudayim, where do you then put this mapa? And Rashi learns that this mapa was used in order to wipe your hands when they get dirty in the middle of the meal. Do you put it on the table, ala shulchan, or do you put it on the cushion, on the chair that you're sitting on, called the keses? According to Beis Shammai, you put it on the table. According to Beis Hillel, you put it on the chair. We're now going to try and understand why they're arguing, what's going on here. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, we learnt in a Braisa. Beis Shammai Oimrim Mekaneach Yodov B'mapo, you wipe your hands after Netilas Yudayim on the cloth, Umanicho ala shulchan, and you put it on the table, not on the cushion, not on the chair. She'im Ato Oimer ala keses, says Beis Shammai, if you're going to put this cloth onto the chair, we have a problem. Gzeira Shemo Yitmu Mashkin Shebemape Machmas HaKeses. The chair, the cushion, may well be a Sheni Letumah. You're going to put a wet towel onto that chair. The liquid in the towel, don't forget we've just finished learning a sugya of mashkim. These mashkim, midrabbanon, will become a rishon. The chair will make the liquids in the towel into a rishon. And then you're going to wipe your hands on this towel. Your hands are going to become a sheni. And you're not allowed to eat a meal with hands that are not tohir. You're going to make the hands tomei, you're not allowed to do that. Asks the Gemara of Netamya Keses Lemapa, why are you focusing on the liquids in the towel becoming a rishon? Why don't you just say that the keses is going to make the towel tomei? Says the Gemara, Ein kli metame kli. The chair, the keses, is called a kli. The towel is called a kli. One kli cannot make another kli tomei. We're assuming that the kli is a sheni, that the keses is a sheni, and a sheni will not make another kli into a sheni or shlishi, etc. The netamye keses legavra. If you're worried that the kli, that the chair, the cushion, is a sheni, then you're going to put your hands on it. Your hands are going to become tomei straight from the chair. V'netamye keses legavra gufe, says the Gemara, ein kli metame odom. A kli will not be metame an odom. Now, even though if the kli is a rishon, the odom can become tomei, but Rashi says that we take it for granted that in the event that the chair or the cushion is a rishon, he'll make sure not to touch it with his hands bichlal, because hands can become sheni. So we're talking about a chair that's a sheni, and therefore even if he touches it with his hands, a sheni will not make his hands a sheni, but the sheni can make the liquids in the mapo into a rishon, and those liquids in turn will make the hands into shniyos. Or Beis Hillel oimrim, Beis Hillel say that you don't put the towel on the table in order to avoid the cushion, you put the towel on the cushion. If you're going to put this towel on the table, it could be that the table itself is a sheni, and the table is going to make the water inside the mapa into a rishon, and then the food on the table is going to touch the mapa, and the foods are going to become a tomei, are going to become sheni. And we don't want that to happen. We want a person to eat his foods b'tayra. Asks the Gemara, v'litame shulchon lo'ichlin shebetzeichai, if the table is sheni, then why don't we say that the food themselves will become directly tomei from the table? Says the Gemara, hocha b'shulchon sheni oskinon, we assume that the table is not more tomei than a sheni, it's not a rishon. V'ein sheni oise shlishi b'chulin, since the food items here are all chulin, then even a table is sheni, it will not make chulin shlishi, because there is no shlishi by chulin. Ask the Gemara, elu ali de mashkin, if the table is sheni, and you're going to put the mapa on the table, the liquids in the mapa are going to become like mashkin do, they're going to become rishoin midrabanon. Now they're rishoin, they can make the oichlim become tomei, they can become a sheni. Therefore, Beis Hillel say, don't put the mapa on the table where the food is, put it on the keses, on the pillow, on the cushion where there's no food there. But Michael Miflegi asks the Gemara, what's the underlying point of their argument? Says the Gemara, Bishamai Savri, also Lishdamish Bishulchon Sheni. Bishamai say you're never allowed to use a shulchon, a table which is a sheni, in which case the whole worry of Beis Hillel doesn't apply. What do Beis Hillel say? Why do you have to put the mapa on the cushion in order to avoid the table? Because if you put it on the table might be a sheni and it will make the mashkin tomei. According to Beis Hillel, you're not even allowed to use such a table to eat on. Also, lishdamish b'kli sheni, why? Gezeirah mishum oichlei truma. Maybe there'll be a kohen sitting there eating truma, and truma can become a shlishi. The table will make the truma tomei. Therefore, you're not allowed to use such a table. Beis Hillel Savra, Beis Hillel, they argue, they say, Mutar lishdamish b'shulchan sheni. You're allowed to use a table that's a sheni. Why? Oichlei truma's reason hein. Kohanim are very careful with the halachas, they're very meticulous to make sure that nothing should happen, nothing should go wrong. If a kohen is going to eat his truma on this table, he'll make sure that the food does not touch or does not come into contact with the table. Continues the Gemara, Dovar Achir. Another reason, according to Beis Hillel, that you should avoid the table and put the mapa on the keses. Ein netilas yudayim lechulin min ha-toira. And let's explain what this means. The Gemara is going to try and explain it, but let's just get it clear first. According to Beis Shammai, you put the mapa on the table. We want to avoid the cushion. Why? The cushion could make the mapa, the mashkin in the mapa rishon, and then the yodayim, the hands, are going to become tomei. There's no food on the cushion. According to Beis Hillel, you put the mapa on the cushion in order to avoid the shulchan, because if the shulchan becomes tomei, or is tomei, then the mashkin in the mapa will become rishon, and then the food that touches these rishon will become tomei. So Beis Shammai are clearly stressing that the issue, what they were worried about, was the yodayim, and they were not worried about the oichlin. We know why they were not worried about the oichlin, because they say that the shulchan itself has to be always tohir, mustn't be a sheni. Beis Hillel, however, they are focusing on the oichlin becoming tomei, which is why you put the mapa on the cushion and not on the table, because the table might make the mashkin sheba mapa rishon, and they will make the food sheni, and they're not focusing on the yodayim. Number one, they don't mind if you put the mapa on the keses, and then if the mapa is on the keses and the keses is allowed to be a sheni, the mashkin could become rishoin, and then his hands which is what Bishamai's chashash was, his hands will become tummy. Bishillel didn't seem to be worried about that. And even more, even on the table, Bishillel clearly say that we're worried that the if you put the mappa on the table being a sheni, is going to make the mashkin in the mappa rishon, and then what will happen? The food might become tummy. It doesn't say that his hands that are also going to touch the mappa become tummy. So Bishillel are clearly staying away from worrying about the hands and are focusing on the food becoming tummy. So that's what they're explaining here. That's what this Dover Acher is doing. So the term of the Dover Acher in the Braisa was Ein Tilas Yadayim L'Chulin Min HaTorah. When you're eating chulin, the reason, the need to do Tilas Yadayim first is not Min HaTorah, it's only Midrabanon. The truth is, any Tilas Yadayim is only Midrabanon, because the whole concept of Tumas Yadayim is only Midrabanon. Even for Truma, the Chiyuv of Tilas Yadayim is only Midrabanon. But since over here we're talking about chulin, the Gemara coined the term, the Braisa said, Ein Netilas Yudaim L'Chulin Min HaTorah. What they actually meant is Ein Netilas Yudaim Min HaTorah, period. There is no Netilas Yudaim Min HaTorah, because there's no concept of Tumas Yudaim Min HaTorah. Asks the Gemara, my Dover Acher, what's Bishillel trying to do with the Dover Acher? Why do we need the Dover Acher? Bishillel explained themselves that the reason you put the mappe on the keses and not on the table is so the food shouldn't become tummy. This is what the message Bishillel was trying to give Bishamai. If you Bishamai are going to ask us Bishillel, why are we worrying about the food becoming tummy? And why are we not focusing on the hands becoming tummy? I'll explain to you why. There's no concept of Netilas Yadayim Min HaTorah. The concept of Tumas Yadayim is only a rabbinical one. Mutav Shiyatamu Yadayim Shel Delespu Ikur Midoraisa. We, relative to Tumas Oichlin, we don't worry so much about the hands. The worst that will happen to the hands is that they'll become Tomei Midorabonon. Va'al Yatamu Oichlin De'ispu Lohu Ikur Midoraisa. But food, where the concept of food becoming Tomei. It's true that if the foods become tummy from mashkin, which are risha in midrabanon, the foods will only be tummy midrabanon. But the concept of foods becoming tummy, sheni or shlishi, are biblical ones, are min HaTorah, and therefore we are more concerned about the food, which is yeshle ikur midoiraisa, than the hands, which the concept of tumas yadayim has no basis in the Torah. Continues the Gemara. Bishamai oimrim mechabdin v'chulu. The next conflict, dispute between Bishamai and Bishillel regarding the Suda is, do you first do Mayim Achreinim and then clear away the table or the floor from the crumbs, or do you first clear away the floor or the table and only then wash Mayim Achreinim? Tan Rabbono, let's see in the Braisa where we're going to understand Bishamai and Bishillel. Bishamai Oimrim Mechabdin Es Habayis, you first sweep away either the floor or the table, V'achar Kach Noitlim Liyadayim, and only afterwards you do Mayim Achreinim. She'ima To'imer Noitlim Liyadayim T'chila, if you're going to do Mayim Achreinim whilst the crumbs are still on the table, Nimtza Tamafsid Es Ha'ichlim, the water of the Mayim Achreinim could destroy the food, the crumbs, and you're not allowed to destroy food. Avol Netilas Yadayim LeBishamai Tchila, the requirement of first doing Mayim Achreinim before taking away the crumbs, Lo Yisvirulu, Bishamai don't hold of that, Ma'itam Mishum Pirurim, because it's more important to first clear away the crumbs and then do Mayim Achreinim so that the water should not destroy the crumbs. And this whole sentence from Avol till Pirurim, some take it out, it's already said in the sentence before that. Ubishilil Oimrim, Bishilil explain, Im Shamash Talmud Chochem Hu, if the waiter happens to be a learned person, a Talmud Chochem, Hu Noitel Pirurim Shiesh Bem Kazayis, he'll know that before Mayim Achreinim, you have to clear away all those crumbs and leftover bread pieces that are the size of a kazayis, an olive. Umaniach Pirurim Shein Bem Kazayis, the little crumbs they leave on the table. This will be proof to Rabbi Yechanon, Domer Rabbi Yechanon, Pirurin She'ein Bem Kazayis, crumbs that are smaller than the size of a Kazayis, Mutal Abdom, you're allowed to destroy them, Bayad, even knowingly, you're allowed to destroy them with your hands. So according to Bez Hillel, that the Shamash is a Talmud Chacham, we're not worried that there's going to be big leftover bread, only the small crumbs, so you can do Mayim Achronim first. According to Bez Shammai, where there might be bigger crumbs that are going to get ruined with the Mayim Achronim left on the table, therefore you do Mayim Achronim first. B'maykum Iflegi, what's the point of their argument? Bez Hillel Savra also lishtamish b'shamash amoritz. Bez Hillel say you have to use a shamash who's not an amoritz. Or b'shamay Savra, b'shamay hold, mutu lishtamish b'shamash amoritz, you're allowed to use a shamash who's an amoritz. And it's very complicated because before you use such a shamash, he actually has to go to mikveh to make sure he's toyer. It's complicated. But b'shamay say that you're allowed to use a shamash amhoretz. Since he could be a not learned person, he's going to leave the bigger crumbs on the table. And therefore, you have to do mayim achreinim. You have to first sweep away the crumbs and then do mayim achreinim. However, according to Beis Hillel, where there's going to be a shamash talmud chacham, there's in any case not going to be any big pieces of leftover bread on the table. There's no reason to sweep away the table first. You're allowed to do mayim achreinim first. And some Achreinim actually say that, according to Bez Hillel, they say that you can do Mayim Achreinim first, but the truth is, there's no preference either way. You can either do Mechabdin Es Habayis, or you can do Mayim Achreinim. Whichever one you want, you can do first. The main point is, according to Bez Shammai, you have to first sweep away the table before doing Mayim Achreinim. Continues the Gemara. Omar Reb Yosi Bar Chanina Omar Reb Huna. Bekulei Pirkin, in all the disputes mentioned in this Mishnah, in this Perek, Halacha k'Bez Hillel. The Halacha is like Bez Hillel. Bar Meho, besides with this one here, that the Halacha is you first have to clear away the table, and only then you do Mayim Achreinim, the Halacha k'Bez Shammai. In this case, the Halacha is like Bez Shammai. Reb Oishia Masni Ibcha. Reb Oishia actually changes the text in our Mishnah to say that Bez Hillel holds that you first do Mechabdin Es Habayis, and Beis Shammai is the one that says you first do Mayim Achreinim, and if so, and therefore the halacha that says you do Mechabdin Es Habayis is actually Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai. Continues the Gemara. Beis Shammai Oimrim Neir Umozoin V'chulu. The next dispute, which we mentioned in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel by the Suda, is the order of the Havdalah. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna bar Yehuda ikla lebei Rava. Rav Huna bar Yehuda was visiting Rava. Chazya le Rava deborich abesomim bereisha. He saw that Rava was making the bracha on the besomim before making a bracha on the ner. Omar le Rav Huna bar Yehuda said to Rava, Mechti bis Shammai ubis Hillel amoir loy pligi. Is it not clear in our Mishnah that both according to Beis Shammai and according to Beis Hillel, you first make a bracha on the Neir and only afterwards on the Besomim? Why did you make a bracha on the Besomim first? Detanya, it's actually supposed to be Ditnan, we saw in our Mishnah. Beis Shammai Oimrim, Beis Shammai say Neir, Mozoin, Besomim, Vavdola. That's the order. You first do Neir, and then you say Birchas HaMozoin, and then Besomim. Or Beis Hillel Oimrim, Neir, Ubesomim, Mozoin, Vavdola. They also agree that you do Neir before Besomim. Just they say that Mozoin is after Besomim. So why did you, Rava, make the bracha on the Besomim first? Oni Rava Bastrei, Rava answered him, Zudivir Reb Meir, our Mishnah is Reb Meir. We've actually seen this on Dafnun Beis Amud Aleph already. Aval Reb Yehuda Oimer, Reb Yehuda says that the Machloikus B'Shamayim B'Silel is different. Rabbi Yehuda holds that everybody, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, agree that you say Birchas HaMozin first. If they both agree that you say the Broch of Havdalah at the end. What's the argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? On the order of the Neir and the Besomim. Beis Shammai Umrim Ala Moir V'Acharkach Besomim. Beis Shammai say you first make the bracha on the Neir and then on the Besomim. Or Beis Hillel Umrim Besomim V'Acharkach Moir. You first make a bracha on the Besomim and then on the Neir. V'Omer B'Echanon Noagu Ha'om K'Beis Hillel Alibud Rabbi Yehuda. The custom is to follow Beis Hillel. Which Beis Hillel? The one that Rabbi Yehuda mentions, not the one in our Mishnah that Rabbi Meir mentions. And therefore, according to Beis Hillel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you make the bracha of Besomim first, and that's why Rava did exactly that. Continues the Gemara. Beis Shammai Oimrim Sheboro Chulu. The next topic, the next dispute in our Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is the text, the formula of the bracha on the flame on the Neir. Do you say Boire, do you say Boro? Do you say Mo'ir, meaning one flame, Mo'ire, a number of flames? Let's see the Gemara. Omar Rava, says Rava. Some suggest that it's Rabba. But Boro Kule Alma Loi Pligi. Everyone agrees that the word Boro is in past tense, and therefore it's appropriate. Boro, Hashem created the flame, light, fire. Deboro Mashma, that it means past tense. Ki pligi, what's the argument? Beboire. When you say the word boire, what does it mean? Beshamai sovri, beshamai hold boire, deosid lemivra. Boire means that he's going to create. That would be inappropriate. When we make the bracha on the Neir, we are making a bracha to Hashem who created fire on Motzei Shabbos. Basilil Savri. Basilil say that Boire Nami Deboro Mashma. The word Boire is also referring to the past tense, and therefore you can say it here as well. Mosiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked, we see in the Pasuk says, Yoitzer Oyer Uvoire Choyshech. And there it's clearly talking about that Hashem created in the past tense. Yoitzer Horim Uboire Ruach. That Hashem created the mountains and the Ruach. So you see as well that Boire is in past tense. Boire Shomayim V'noiteyem, Hashem created the heavens. So you see that it must be that everybody agrees that Boire is in the past tense. So how do you explain Beis Shammai? Elom, Rav Yosef says as follows. Beboro, Uboire, both the term Boro and Boire, Kule Almoloi Pligi Deboro Mashma. But everybody agrees that it means past tense. And therefore, if you use it in the bracha of the Neir, it's valid, it's a good bracha. Ki pligi, what's the argument? B'mo'ir, u'mo'iri. Do you say that Hashem created a single fire, light, flame, or mo'iri, or in plural tense? To b'shamai savra, b'shamai hold chodun nahira ika benura. B'shamai say there's only one fire in every flame, there's only one color, it's only one mo'ir there. Basilil Savra, Basilil say, Tuva Nahira Ika Benura. There are many colors. There's the yellow part of the flame, and there's the blue part of the flame, there's the whitish part of the flame. There are many different parts of the flame with different colors, and therefore you say a plural tense. Tanya Namiyachi, we saw a brisa to this effect. Omrulem Basilil Bishamai. Basil said to Bishamai, Harbe Moirois Yesh Ba'ur. There are many different types of flames in a fire. And therefore you say Mo'ire, you don't say Mo'ir. Emir Tz Hashem, in our next shiur, we're going to carry on from here.